And you're listening to the Practice Power Up Podcast with your host, Damian Adler. Damian, the co-founder of Power Diary and a clinical psychologist, will bring to you proven strategies on how to run and grow your practice. Happy listening.
Welcome, everyone. We're going to be talking about privacy and for Power Diary, and we're going to talk about exciting news in relation to Power Diary's security. So it's a really exciting topic for us to talk about today. We're sort of really happy to kind of share this with you, and we will jump right in. My name is Damian Adler. I am one of the co-founders of Power Diary, and I head up also the customer success team. Prior to Power Diary, and I guess part of the reason Power Diary started to begin with is that I'm a psychologist by trade, and a very long time ago now, my wife and I started a private practice, and we needed some software to run that. With me today, co-hosting is Paul. So I'll let you introduce yourself, Paul, to our.
So, thank you, Damian. Yeah, I'm the CTO of and Damian and the co-founder of Power Diary. I guess I sort of look at and manage our software development and our engineering teams, and think a lot about information security, and that's the topic of today. Before running Power Diary, which has been I don't know how many years now, but
12 or so years,
I previously founded. I spent the 10 plus years before that running a founding a successful technology company, and we did a lot of advisory and security information and helping people with infrastructure and whatnot. Quite a long time, a couple of decades thinking about security, and excited to sort of talk to everyone today.
Yeah, and I think it's that's been a critical part of your career, really, going back to the start. So it's a new manifestation for last 12 or so years in Power Diary. Now, what we'll look at, and I'm just going to jump ahead to this next slide, is really kind of looking at security in private practice, and that's a critical thing. And as a psychologist, I know that security and privacy is something that is a major concern, and I think from day one in training to become a psychologist or any health practitioner, they drill into the importance of confidentiality and keeping client information private and secure. And it's been something that really, as we've developed Power Diary, it's sort of been something that has been a sort of top priority and, I guess, front of mind right from the sort of very start. It's security is a sort of a funny thing, right? You never can sort of say that you've arrived. It's a constantly kind of moving target, because the way in which people attack systems and the way in which security systems can become vulnerable, it changes over time. And so it's not something that you can ever kind of rest and say, okay, that's done. It's something that we've got to be vigilant about constantly. And it really, for us at Power Diary, I guess it's right from the start, from the very early conversations I think you and I had about the idea of starting Power Diary, that idea of how do we keep people's data safe has been sort of a foundational sort of building block, if you like. And it's been something that has always been kind of front of mind. But one of the difficulties, if you like, for practices is that we can do lots of things to kind of try and make software secure and try and do everything that we can, but from a practitioner's point of view, and when they're sort of selecting software, there is this kind of question about how do you know, like, if your software is truly secure. And that's something that we've thought about a lot, over the years. And, we wanted to sort of be able to provide, like, the most sort of assurance and confidence that we could, that we the sorts of things that we do that people can be confident in, that choosing PowerRA to know that we take security seriously, and that they can have confidence in what we might be saying about security. And this sort of leads into the key kind of point that we're going to talk about today, and that is this very sort of exciting news that we are now ISO 27001, which is the information security standard, we are now certified. And this standard, which we'll dive into to sort of really talk about, what this is and why it matters. But in brief, it's sort of the best way to verify that the right sorts of systems and things are in place to keep data secure. And we're going to do a deep dive, but the headline here is that now, PowerRA is officially ISO 27001 certified, and that's current and active as we speak. So let's jump into a little bit more about really what this sort of means. And perhaps, Paul, you can kind of take us through this. Why does this, why should we care about this? And what exactly is it?
Yeah. So that's a great question. I mean, ISO 27001 is a information security standard that covers the protection of the data that a company has. In our case, this is PowerDiary. ISO, there's 150 plus internet. It covers sort of 150 plus national standard bodies around the world. So it's not just a one country framework. It's a European. It's UK, Australia, US. All the main markets that PowerDiary covers. ISO 27001 is something relevant and covers all of the data that we're storing, and that that we have adequate protections in place. And we'll go into them a little bit further, but it's quite an exhaustive program that covers protecting your data.
Yeah, and so the ISO organization itself, so this international organization standardization, so they're sort of main reason for existence, right, is to look at things that are important around the world that should be really kind of standardized, and there should be this sort of high level agreement about how mm-hmm. things should be done to achieve various outcomes. Now for ISO 27001, this is really around the sort of the best thinking and the best sort of the highest standards of how you would manage, and how you should manage data security, what level of standard you need to meet to be able to say, okay, we are managing this securely. And so they sort of set that standard. I kind of think of intuitively before, I'd be involved in PowerDiary, I think maybe, okay, encryption, be encrypted, and there should be maybe two-factor, maybe a firewall, right? And that might stop people sort of, attacking the system and being able to intrude on the system. And maybe two-factor authentication. I think, you think of, well, if someone's logging in, there should be a second way of verifying that person, right? So that's sort of what comes to mind. But when looking at this ISO 27001, it sort of goes well beyond this, right? This is not just focused on those few things, which are relevant, of course, but it's a more extensive sort of assessment of your security standing. Is that the right way to think about it?
I think so, absolutely. Yeah. And it's a very comprehensive program covering, and if we were to, on the right-hand side of the slide here, you can see the different areas that this ISO 27001 framework sort of covers, and covers specifically with information security. So some of that stuff isn't perhaps, as you mentioned before, Damien, as obvious. But if you say look at the recent breaches and things like that, it's almost never the firewall or the encryption that was sort of at exploited here. It was some of these other points around the people and the policies that you've got in place, and that led to ultimately the data was exploited in the recent sort of hacking attacks.
Yeah, and that's sort of where the biggest vulnerabilities seem to open up are really the areas that people are often not thinking about, you know, that idea of, you know, what your human resources processes are, looking at what vendors you use, like in our case, like what are we using PowerDRA if we're using third parties, you know, to provide certain functions, so our data centers and so forth, you know, what about their security, you know, and I think this is where ISO is such a distinct thing, is that it requires you not to, you can't just sort of make some comments about the popular things that people kind of think about.
Like, you know, encryption at rest, everyone asks about that.
Yeah.
Of course we have it. But, you know, that's not how, you know, if you look back at all the major security sort of incidents, it wasn't that, you know, yes, you do need to have that. But it's these other things.
Yeah. And I think this is, you know, when we see people asking us questions, you know, they're looking at, you know, joining up with PowerDRA and they've got security questions. What comes to mind, you know, isn't the things that actually make the biggest difference. It's this stuff here. And the going through the kind of the ISO 27001 formal certification process means that, you know, essentially we've had to demonstrate our kind of compliance in each of these areas that relate to security. And that's something that is, really sets things apart from if you just sort of think, well, we do the basics, or we do the obvious kinds of things. Now, there's sort of very few companies, right, that have actually achieved this, you know, the certification in this regard. You know, in your view, like, you know, why do you think that is? That, like, there's not a lot of practice management systems out there that are sort of that have gone through this ISO certification process.
I think it's probably one of the, you know, like if we were to look at the list that was just previously on that slide there, but, you know, it does cover, like, there's a lot of sort of, you know, fundamental basic sort of questions that people do, you know, areas that people that are important, you know, encryption, etc. But there's quite a lot of others, and in fact some of those sort of hardcore IT stuff that is only a relatively minor part of it. And it's quite complicated to demonstrate to an auditor, which is what you have to do to become ISO 27001 certified. You have to do the thing, and you have to demonstrate that you are doing it. And both those things, all of that is not, it's not straightforward to do that. It does take a fair bit of work. And I mean, we have a dedicated privacy person who's been with us, you know, team member who's been with us for, you know, it must be a couple of years now. And we also have a separate dedicated person who just works on security, doesn't implement anything, doesn't audit anything, just works on the security programs and awareness and understanding at PowerDRA.
I think it's a process too, that a lot of it is unseen. So when you're looking at focusing resources on things, like for us, we sort of really feel that this level of accountability and that kind of having external independent assessment of our security is so important. But I think for a lot of other companies too, it's not something that, you know, day to day, week to week, you can kind of highlight as here's a new feature or here's sort of, you know, something. And it's easy to kind of get focused on the things that are just that front facing, that are fun to sort of, you know, announce. But there's a lot of work and effort that goes in behind the scenes. But we think this is one of those sort of foundational things that we should sort of get right. And I think, you know, for what we're looking at here, that, you know, that security, like, it needs to kind of be done in a way that, I guess, nothing sort of can escape our attention. And I think this is one of the sorts of things that, you know, when you're sort of thinking about what's front of mind for security, it's very easy to miss things. And it's that kind of, you know, you don't know what you don't know, right? And that's sort of like the biggest risk.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're not an expert and you're not And that's sort of where that false sense of security can sort of come from.
Yeah. And I mean, like just the fact of us two sitting here talking today, you know, security is, it's really important. We think it's really important. It is important to Powered RE. And you've got both of us here today talking about it. And, you know, it's something that we have been working on together with that security team and privacy team. And then also, you know, myself up the line with the more sort of like, you know, technical engineering type people, you know, actually implementing and doing this stuff. That sort of, it's a really big priority at Powered RE and protecting people's data and information and making sure it's kept private.
Yeah. I think if we were looking at, say, all the things that you and I might meet about over the last couple of years, if we were to put it into it, we were going to graph it on the topic, right? Of, you know, security and privacy, you know, it's just that, you know, every single week we have got at least one, sometimes multiple meetings that on these topics and looking at our compliance, looking at the various certification frameworks that we look at, and of course, you know, ISO, because it's really about it's not just about the practice of what you're doing, but it's also being able to demonstrate that through sort of systematic, you know, collection of evidence to be able to kind of, you know, to show it. So,
I mean, vulnerabilities and what it means to be secure is, yeah, it's not sort of something that you can sort of say, right, you know, one and done, right, it's done, right, and draw a line under that, move on to set other things. Programs like ISO 27001 require regular, you know, it's mandated and regular review and assessment. And regular external audits. Like externally, it must be audited every 12 months.
Yeah.
What you're doing.
And in that, they look at our collection of evidence. Yeah. So you can't have a focused effort in the last month before an audit and to try and pass it, because part of that, the system is looking at your adherence to all the requirements over that 12 months and the collection of evidence over that preceding period of time to demonstrate that you've been attending to all the things that are important. And again, this is the difference between having an objective external standard like this versus just an in-house, maybe well-intentioned focus on security, but without the structure there and without that kind of external assessment, it's so easy for things to kind of just to go missing or to be forgotten and just drop off. And, you know, it's... so having something like this is, you know, makes such a difference. Now, okay, so to get to this, it's not exactly a straight road, right? Like, it's not something you can decide, hey, you know, this would be a good idea to get our security certification. You know, it's not a thing you can do in a couple of weeks. So can you kind of walk us through the road that, you know, Powered RE's been to get there. Yeah.
And I might go straight to the third point, the compliance system that we implemented probably 2+ years ago. And it was initially implemented, you know, for privacy. So it covers privacy and our data security. And it was initially implemented for, well, GDPR was a sort of key focus of that. But with a good understanding that this system will help us capture and show compliance with a variety of security programs and privacy programs. And that certainly has been extremely helpful in monitoring that you're doing it, as well as then showing an auditor that you, you know, providing evidence that you are actually doing it. So that's very helpful at a management and a compliance sort of at an evidence level.
It also gives us in that system a sort of a live or a current sort of feed of what the current regulations are, and it breaks them down, right? So, you know, each line of each regulation, each requirement, what's required to achieve that, what that looks like from a policy point of view or other elements.
And it's updated. And
right, exactly. So it's, and again, it's a difference between having something that you know, is a folder in someone's Google Drive or something printed out collecting dust that, you know, was relevant for a particular, you know, snapshot in time.
Yes.
But this sort of system that we utilize really keeps everything kind of up to date, and it sort of alerts us. So it's sort of another form of external information coming in to say, hey, there's been a change to this regulation in this particular context, or ISO 27001 change in evidence requirement, or maybe a change in the standard. We get a direct feed of that, and we know immediately, you know, what needs to be done and how we need to modify what we do to ensure continued compliance.
So every month, every quarter, annually, there's, you know, new evidence is collected in there, rather than, as you said, just sitting in a folder somewhere. You know, maybe a mad scramble before an audit perhaps, you know, is done, maybe, but this we don't do that. We have everything inside a dedicated compliance management system, which, you know, where it helps us efficiently and effectively keep on top of, you know, data security, information security, like what's you know, what this ISO 27001 is covering. And and as you mentioned before, it's such a range of different areas of the business and different areas that are really important to information security. And those issues, those areas, not that sexy, or they're not that top of mind, but they're really important, and they don't, you know, they're an important part, full stop, of keeping, you know, information secure, and they're an important part of the standard.
And to get sort of from where we were, and I think we've always, you know, I think very fair to say we've always had a sort of genuinely strong focus on security and on privacy, but there's a difference between that and then being able to evidence in this way. So that the journey there, you know, so we got the program in place, you know, that sort of helps us kind of keep on track of that. You mentioned before we hired some dedicated specialists, right?
Yeah.
You know, to both in the privacy space and in the sort of security space. We systematically, you know, to get this, to get our certification over the past 12 months or longer, we sort of go through, right, each area of the system and each area of what we're doing, and making sure that we've got the right things set up. And this sort of includes things like team training, you know, making sure that the training that we provide is matched to each of the roles that people have and the level of access they might have and so forth, that they're aware of and it's not just a matter of just making up training. The training itself has to be achieve certain standards under the ISO framework. So it gets down to that level of detail, and I think we have and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we've got about 150 or so controls that are actively monitored, right, under the ISO 27001 standard, that, you know, 150 different points that we are actively monitoring and collecting evidence of that on, to sort of show that compliance. So, you know, this sort of, I think it goes part of the way to explain why it's not something that you see many organizations having, is that it is a, even when you've already got a good culture around security and privacy, this level of oversight and assessment is a whole different level.
Yeah, and you're addressing important questions that an auditor who is a security expert is asking, and you need to not just say that you're doing it, but actually let's provide some evidence, a screenshot. Like, how do you provide evidence? It's a screenshots. It's actually real time showing of information that you need to do to say, you know, prove, show me that you have done a disaster recovery test and a simulation. So let's, you know, and you're required to do it and show me that you've done it and what you've found, how you're going to improve, not just were you able to do it, actually, like, what are your sort of measures in place to improve it,
yeah,
and to do better next time. And so we've, you know, we've had to do, disaster recovery and make sure that, data can be restored from a backup and that it's regularly tested. We have good backup systems in place, and we test every single day. We have an automated process, but we have to do a special one that to demonstrate for compliance with this system with ISO 27001. A full disaster recovery has been simulated, and actually you have got the data back. And how long did you get it back, and how can you do it better next time?
Yeah, and then that sort of helps sort of ensure that and the security part of the requirement is around availability, and preservation of data in an adverse event, and that sort of you have to do these exercises. They're essentially like fire drills, right? To show and demonstrate what you learned from that as you go through. And then in the interview process, as part of the certification in itself is quite an intensive kind of thing that we kind of went through, right? That the level of assessment is, it's impressive. It's somewhat intimidating in a way when you're like the interviews and whatnot we did, but where you'd be facing a panel who are firing questions at us for hours, right? And that's just one small part of the assessment. But things like, okay, they would pick random vendors that we might use. So let's say how we might manage our SMS process or management, and then they'd say, okay, yeah, email, exactly. And then they show us your assessment of those vendors. How did you assess them? How have you done a risk assessment? Where do you, how have you considered the various elements of choosing vendors to provide services, so that it's not enough just to say that what we do in-house is acceptable and up to the standard, but we also need to demonstrate that each vendor that we might choose that is part of the ecosystem of Powered RE meets the right standards as mm-hmm. well. And
and understood and rigorous selection process has been done. Yeah.
And reviewed. I think when we went through this, there wasn't a single there's not a single area of Powered RE that is not required under ISO to manage things in certain ways. So even our marketing department and so forth, their requirements about how data is managed if someone signs up for a trial, like every element of the operation, which is great. It was certainly interesting being interviewed over long periods. I think we had one was a 6 hour, was it, the interview that we with a panel?
Yeah. And it involves lots of people, for example, like really important person is our HR manager to make sure that, to answer questions around our staff training and and that it's those sort of things. It's not encryption at rest, for example. It's those sort of things that a lot of vulnerabilities, a lot of exploits and data has been hacked. Yeah, not to Powered RE, but if you look at across the all of the different big events that have happened, big security incidents that have happened around the world, they've come
and
from
typically those. Sort of things that aren't as sexy, aren't as front of mind, and it's like, exactly. And this process sort of forces people to think about it. And we don't get our accreditation unless we can demonstrate every one of those things that doesn't necessarily jump out at you is attended to, and we can prove it.
Yeah.
So in terms of the impact for a practice, and what it kind of means. And I think this is something that, end of the day, our role is to sort of make running practices easier and, provide functions and features that sort of make the life of practitioners health, administrators as well, just easier and simpler, right?
Yeah.
And so for a practice, I think, the key thing, is that by using, say, in our case, Powered RE, that's ISO 27001 certified, it means that it's very easy to establish the level of security that Paradore is utilizing. So you can have that kind of confidence that you're meeting the standards, meeting those professional obligations, meeting the regulatory compliance around security, and that very serious obligation that practitioners have about protecting the privacy and security of the sensitive information that they get. What it means is better say, okay, I'm using Paradore. Paradore has gone through this very thorough, objective process that is measured and is set up based on external standards. So it's not sort of a reliance on saying, well, you know, I think Damien and Paul seem like pretty good sort of people. I'm sure they're doing the right thing. You know, it actually takes it beyond that and sort of, you know, it means that as a practice, you can kind of sleep easy at night knowing that that you've chosen software that has gone through that kind of process. And that kind of means too that, you know, if you're talking to like to patients about it, you can kind of have confidence, you know, in what you're saying and be able to say, well, this is, you know, we've chosen a platform that has gone through this process where we're sort of taking care in how, as a practice, we're choosing the vendors, the people are looking after your information, they're storing it and managing it for us. We're choosing an organization that has got this objective assessment in place, not as a one-off, but as an ongoing way in which they kind of do business. And we really, when we were looking at our approach to this, you know, and it's the reason we prioritized ISO 27001 straight up as the first, you know, major framework to kind of go through our formal accreditation process is because we think it's the hardest and it involves all the things that you'd think of, but all those other things that we've mentioned as well. But then it means that practitioners can have confidence in where their data is being stored and how, you know, that's been stored. So it means you don't need to be a security expert at trying to choose.
But it's a moving target.
Yeah, to a moving target that's already a specialist area, right? Yeah. Like it's, you know, it's something that for health practitioners we know, right? It's not the area of specialty, you know. It's the area of specialty is providing great healthcare to patients. And so this sort of, you know, it takes that.
As you said before, you don't have to take our word for it.
Yeah.
Like we have done good stuff, right? But yeah, there are experts and their job is just to do the auditing.
Yeah, that's right. And they're to even become an auditor is quite a process. So their reputation, you know, is on the line too, that when they don't give out the auditors don't give out the certifications lightly, because if they were found to have not fully assessed, then they would actually lose their ability and their standing as an auditor. The other real benefit too is around this kind of reassurance for clients, because I think, you know, every time you turn on the news or, you know, you see these kind of headlines around data breaches that occur, security incidents that occur. And that's anxiety provoking, we know, certainly, you know, for practitioners and practice owners, but also for patients, right? That, you know, to think, well, my, you know, I see a health practitioner, they're putting their data in the computer, I know, but I don't know what that is, you know, and where it is and how reliable, how secure it is. So this idea, it allows you to have, you know, confident communication with your patients about that. And we're going to also provide some pre-written explanations that you can use about what ISO 27001 is, what it you know really means in terms of the security of the health data that's being stored, and also some security badges that actually link through to our website, where we'll have information about, you know, the security of Paradore. And by having those security badges that people are able, if they use Paradore, are able to put on their website and perhaps in their email, you know, signature and so forth, to say, okay, we've chosen software, we're thinking about this, we've chosen software that adheres to these objective international standards. And that another way of just showing that this is something that kind of you're thinking about, and something you're attending to. And again, it gives that confidence to clients, whether they're current or new ones who are looking at perhaps seeking services from your practice, and they're choosing between you know, your practice and someone else's, when you're able to demonstrate that this is something you're actively thinking about and taking good care of, then that's a huge benefit, you know, for practices, and something that we're really, you know, has been part of the driving force, is that, you know, answer that question about how do you know if your system is, you know, that you've chosen is genuinely secure.
It's a good point, Dave. Like, you can never be absolutely perfectly confident that you're secure. But for example, I guess you've got to be at, you know, the awareness is sort of is a very important component of it. And so, for example, like, we have regular externally conducted, you know, specialist people or specialist companies who, they, you know, white hack ethical hackers that attempt to hack into Power Diary. And they, and they provide a written formal report, and it's part of it, you know, doing, you know, so programs such as, you know, ISO 27001, and that's something that's conducted every single year, and it's an important part of our, you know, security stance. And it's a, again, you know, again, you as a, you know, as a practitioner, you just can't do that. And
yeah.
Yeah, you could do it, I suppose, but you're very unlikely to be qualified and experienced and up to date with the latest security vulnerabilities to conduct that test properly.
Yeah, that's right. And they use, like, when they, and this is a term called, like, penetration testing as part of this process that we're talking about. And you know, those companies that we hire, these external companies, I mean, they will throw everything at it, right? They'll use the latest hacking tools and things that are out there to say, okay, we're going to, you know, to see if we can get around any of this sort of.
Can we get any information that we, you know, otherwise are not, you know, able to, shouldn't be able, you know, that we shouldn't be able to get to? That's one thing, which, you know, they've never been able to, ever. And the other thing is, like, can we, or, you know, do you have anything that's perhaps not optimally configured? And they provide us with, you know, information about things, you know, and a severity and whatnot. But, you know, which we make sure that we, you know, mitigate if that's ever, you know, just the potential of a misconfiguration. Yeah, we make sure that we keep on top of it.
Yeah, and I think that was the other point to make too, is that in going through this process, that we did find, not necessarily with the penetration testing, but just going through the overall ISO, you know, 27001, the program and getting ready and taking that sort of systematic approach, there were things that we found that we needed to improve on, like and they weren't like major things that would, you know, provide like from a technical point of view, provide any kind of, you know, immediate, but there are things that we needed to kind of like tighten up on, or an element of training that we had that we realized maybe the emphasis wasn't, we weren't covering all the points that we needed to in our induction training when we're looking at privacy and security. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, going through that, even with all the work we've done over however many years it is now, like, but, you know, there are, even with that, there are things that you identify that you think, okay, you know, that, you know, we now know that we've attended to those things, and we continually kind of monitor and revisit and, you know, always look to kind of, you know, improve. So even when you come into it in a pretty good, you know, in a great, you know, mindset, and you've had a good culture of that, the process itself reveals things that, again, you may not ever have thought of, mm-hmm. and therefore that's where those vulnerabilities lie. And so it's good to be able to have that, you know, it's that level of confidence that, okay, it's a systematic process that has occurred. Mm-hmm. So let's have a look at the, this is sort of not a, like, just an isolation when we're sort of talking about ISO, you know, 27001. It's obviously, you know, our focus today, because it's a certification that we have been working on and now, you know, have achieved. But I just wanted to make the point about that we operate across a whole range of different countries, but our, you know, primary, you know, sort of markets we look at, you know, Australia and New Zealand, of course, is where we originally started, but now, you know, we have operations in UK and Northern America, US, Canada, right? And so what that means is that we fall under lots of regulatory regimes and lots of standards. And what that really does is that it means that we essentially, we apply the kind of most restrictive, the toughest standard and management of data that exists anywhere in the world. So if we were looking at, for instance, a particular requirement about how type of encryption or type of like security level, we would look at if there is a requirement to meet a certain standard, we'd look at the toughest requirement, right, that might exist. And we apply that so that by applying the sort of toughest and meeting the toughest standard, then across all the other areas that we operate in, we automatically exceed the requirement for all those other areas. And it really, by having this kind of global approach, sort of makes Powerdiary, you know, a lot stronger. Now, one of the things that, you know, we are doing when we kind of look at privacy and security is not just looking at this verification and the certification now of ISO, the 27001, but we're also looking and are in the process of having independent, you know, verification of these other programs as well, you know, so that it's not just, you know, that if we look at GDPR and the, you know, some of the
HIPAA,
it's, yeah, we're in process now, you know, so that there's independent, again, assessment and auditing of those as well, so that it's sort of that idea of confidence can be across each of the key areas that we operate under. So this is the beginning of this this phase of our journey in this space.
Yeah, I wanted to just quickly touch on
anything else, Paul, you wanted to add before we wrap it up.
Nothing else, but yeah, best of luck, and I think it's something that people, just as you and I are sitting here, you know, today, you know, I think people, everyone, you know, business owners and, you know, practice owners should take it seriously, like we do, and it's a moving target, and you know, something that people need to sort of you know, open their eyes up to. And
yeah, it's one of those things too, I think, with security that we've often, you know, you and I have often talked about, that you know, you can't wait for there to be something go wrong. Like, you can never, like, you know, you can't wait, if you've got to practice, wait until something goes wrong to then take action, because, you know, that's, you know, it's one of those horses bolt, you know, shutting the gate after the horse has bolted, you know. And it sort of, in some ways, goes against human nature to be sort of thinking and prioritizing things that aren't sort of immediately in front of you, you know. But it's because of that it's so important, you know, that you sort of
prioritize. Security isn't just about encryption at rest and firewalls, right, or, you know, other sort of, you know, IT stuff. It's people.
It's people, and it's, you know, the systems that you use, you know, practice management systems and everything else that you use in your ecosystem of running your practice, that that, you know, ultimately is what makes a difference. So look, for us, we're really, I guess, excited, and I think, you know, proud to be able to deliver this sort of, you know, this sort of peace of mind, and I think this sort of external verification that, look, if there's anything we can help you with, our support team is there. You have any questions, follow-up, email, you know, whatever you like, email, chat, knowledge base, website, lots of different ways, or if you want to organize a Zoom call with one of our team members and go through and help you configure your account or look at your user settings to improve the security of how you're operating, let us know. Team's happy to help in any way that we can. So we will leave it there. Thank you very much. Thank you, Paul. Good fun being able to present this and let people know what we've been working on all this time.
Hey, Power Diary friends, Danielle here. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Practice Power Up podcast with Damian Adler. Come back often and make sure you subscribe, rate, and review our podcast. Your feedback is important. Don't forget to join us next week for another exciting episode. See you then.